Fresh from writing a best-selling book about the death of Holden and the downturn of Australian manufacturing, author and journalist Royce Kermolovs has turned his attention to the mining boom. His new book, Boom and Bust, charts the rise and sudden fall of the mining industry and what the impact has been on Australian culture. He came into the Wire studios to talk about the book, which focuses on the state which gained and lost most from the boom, Western Australia.
The reason why I focus on Western Australia in the book is because, you know, this whole period of the boom, at least the last 10 years of the boom, so much money flowed into that state, the rest of the country suddenly became curious about it, and suddenly we learned about it through our headlines, and we got a little more than stereotypes. You know, there were the ideas of the, you know, millionaire tradie, the, you know, environmental activist, the, you know, these things. There was no nuance involved in that. The story is essentially what happens when an entire society wins the lotto, and then it goes away again.
Okay, so you've chosen really interesting cast of characters, from international economists to humble concreters, and in each case you've actually told their story and connected them in some way. How did you make those choices?
For me, a lot of the interesting stories often come from those who are responding or reacting to decisions of powerful people. But you cannot tell the story without telling both. You need to know what they were thinking and doing at each time and seeing how they're living and reacting to their current circumstances. For instance, with the story with the Economist, I was looking for a way to talk about this kind of economic theory in a way that was accessible to people. And I was also looking for who saw this coming, who was saying that this thing's going to last forever, who were the first people to know that this was going to happen. You know, and so that's I ended up picking out the Economist, because I just traced it back to, you know, to him. The other stories I told, the ones, the people who are reacting to this, the people I met along the way, and, you know, some of them seem kind of, well, how is this connected to the mining boom exactly? For instance, I included in the chapter the story of Ms. Jew, the woman who passed away in police custody in South Hedland a few years back. And my answer is, well, it's got everything to do with the boom. Everything in Western Australia happens against the backdrop of an open-cut mine. How we work, how, you know, is how we see ourselves, how, you know, what money our, you know, our politicians have to spend defines what gets funded and what doesn't. And this was a time of plenty for a lot of people. So for someone to die essentially because of $3,500 worth of debt is not only tragic, but wrong.
One of the most interesting cultural changes, I think, was the FIFO worker. I mean, we have always been a mining country, but this fly-in, fly-out, obviously economically good from a company's point of view, way to do employment. What were the effects of that that you found?
That ties into something that was true across the industry and society, that this kind of broke down a lot of those personal connections and made us all kind of very atomized. You know, and FIFO itself began in a period where you had, particularly with the mining industry, when you had access to cheap aviation technology, but also the decline in unionization, it enabled people to be moved vast distances very quickly. So your commute was just, you know, a 4-hour flight rather than a half hour down the road. But at the same time, it also prevented people from forming communities and talking to each other, which is the prerequisite you need for organization. And with it, it brought a bunch of these social ills. So, I mean, you have people who, it put pressure on marriages and children, because suddenly children were being raised in, you know, homes where their parent wasn't working there. But also, the flip side, a lot of the people that went to work in these situations thought they were going to, you know, help set up their family for the rest of their lives. And often the people who were participating in these FIFO work practices were building a life outside the home, and so they were coming back to a fully functioning family unit that exists without them. And that can be a very alienating process of, you know, of reintegration. It also enabled people who, you know, maybe had access to more money than they ever knew what to do with, and they may have appetites for substances that, you know, may be somewhat illegal. Yeah, and the isolation and the way it brought people out of the communities where they can draw support helped develop some of their some of these addictions. And that kind of breakdown of kind of interpersonal relationships is something you see across this whole period. It's true of the people at the top as well as the people at the bottom. I mean, for instance, I mean, some of the big mining magnates, I mean, they say it's the old cliche, it's lonely at the top. I think that's actually true. And the bubbles that these people kind of live in, and the way they make the decisions, are informed by that. But it's also true of the people on the bottom.
What about Aboriginal people? Did they gain from the mining boom?
Some didn't. It's like anything. Some did and some didn't. The story I focus on in the book is the profile of Michael Woodley. He's a Yindabani man. He's currently engaged in a very messy land rights struggle with FMG, and the outcome of that could change the law around how Indigenous people are compensated for use of their land by these mining companies. At the moment, they've practically received nothing for, you know, for use of their land, and that's what they're fighting over. Other traditional owners have, in some ways, good relationships with companies and been able to negotiate, so it's not as easy as saying it's all good and bad.
You end the book in the casino, and the implication is it's a gamble. It was a gamble. We won, now we've lost, but we might win again. Is that the attitude that WA, certainly, and maybe Australia, has come out of the mining boom with, that it will happen again?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's, I don't think this is just WA. I think it's all of this country. I think that we now think about work, industry, economics, as gambling, as that we're all here to make a buck and that and get out. But by breeding that culture, by breeding that, you know, that kind of gambler's approach to life, I think we're entering, I think it's a very reckless and dangerous phase.
Royce Kermelovs, he's author of Boom and Bust, The Rise and Fall of the Mining Industry, Greed and the Impact on Everyday Australians. That's published by Hachette.